Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Catch those springtime vibes all over Arizona. Break out of the winter blues by hitting the water at one of our lake and river parks. Take a hike among the wildflowers. Just make sure to stay on the trails and leave the flowers for the bees. Discover Arizona's best kept secret and visit azstateparks.com/amazing to start your springtime adventure.
It's Thursday, and you know what that means. That means it's time to ignite the dynamite the day after the dynamite. And I'm Will Washington. Hello there, folks. Now, I'm not alone here because I'm joined by my right-hand man. I guess, technically, when we're doing Grapsody, he's not quite to my right. He's, like, below. But nonetheless, it's Mr. Righteous Reg.
It's your boy in the building, your favorite rapper, your favorite writer, your favorite podcaster here. It's Thursday. It's not Saturday. My song didn't play before the show started. It always feels weird when we just go right into it. But it's Dad with the Dad, Will Washington. Hey, man, thanks for having me. What a great time to be on. I had a lot of fun yesterday tweeting about this show, so I'd love to talk about it some more.
Yeah, well, you know.
And also, like, we are probably two of the busiest media guys in the world right now. Like, I wanted to know if you're beating me, because I'm doing 6 out of 7 days I'm podcasting this week.
Let me think.
I know it's pretty close, because I know you've been in these podcast streets.
Let me see. Yesterday, brother, I did Quizlemania.
Mm-hmm. Got robbed. Heard about that little robbery. I heard about it.
I got robbed. And as I told Denise... where is it? It's still sitting here.
Come on. Yeah, no, for reals. Like, Denise, how are you going to do this?
Yeah.
I thought you guys were friends out here.
Guess not. Well, either way. I did Quizlemania yesterday. Day before that, we released the Red Velvet podcast.
Mm-hmm.
I just had Beyond the Bells.
Yeah.
Got to interview Holodead and Janai Kai. Both great interviews. I'll say, though, that if you're not a subscriber to Women's Wrestling Army, shame on you. You should be, because we did an extended interview with Holodead. And right at the top of the extended portion of the interview, I discover that Holodead is a Trekkie. We get to geek out for a second. She shows me her Klingon staff. It's great. And shout out Holodead. It was just a great time. And yeah, I guess I'm not doing Grapsody this week.
Oh, that's
right. I don't
right.
have that. I'm not going to be
on
Grapsody.
I have one over on you. I forgot. You could have added one, but yes, right. Let's go,
but
baby.
But then I've got a big one coming up. I am doing another Beyond the Bells on Monday, and I've got a really big guest. You know who it is. So just some great stuff all around. I am enjoying
awesome.
It. But yeah. After Dynamite, I get to talk about Dynamite the day after. And I got to do some dad stuff. You notice the show. Those watching right now, thanks for everybody jumping in. It's a little later than usual because I was at a picnic with my kids. I guess it was a work picnic, actually. It was a work picnic at my job, but they were like bringing the kids, and it was a whole luau thing. And
there's a slip and slide.
No slip and slide. Two bouncing houses.
Are slip and slide the things anymore, or am I just like still stuck in the 90s or whatever?
I haven't seen one in a really long time, honestly. I haven't seen one in a long time either, but I assume they are.
Yeah.
They did like bouncing houses, and my kids got their faces painted. Billy got a balloon lion. It was great stuff. Mm-hmm. But although the balloon animal guy was like not very nice. Where he was just like, some kid was like, "Can I get another one?" And he's like, "No, go away."
Wow. Why are you going to a kid's picnic, bro? What's going on with you? Sad out here. I mean, it's rough outside. I understand. Yeah. He's like, you know, fuck this job probably. But, yo, not the kids, yo. You got to let the kids get it off, man.
Yep. Don't forget to send us your super chats. Like a boy, Van Twin Blade. It's at Hollywood Salcedo, a.k.a. Denise McMahon, a.k.a. Dorknice Salsucko. Hashtag Quizzlemania's job. Hashtag Justice for Will. Also, hi, Reg.
Hey, what's up, Van Twin Blade? Always in the buildings when it's podcasting going on with your boys.
Yep. And you know, it's funny. Yeah, I see Pile Driver Finisher in the chat is saying that his captain is Picard. I agree. That was, and that's Holodet's captain as well. So there's it's great stuff out there. But hey, this is Dynamite. We're talking day after Dynamite. We're talking Dynamite and the things that happened on the show last night. And as I say this, I realize I forgot to pull up the results. They usually have them on the screen over here.
What happened on this show?
Not that I don't remember. No, I of course remember. I don't even have to pull it up to start with because we kicked off with Bryan Danielson.
Yep,
of course,
yep.
Bryan Danielson was here to let us know what's going down. He had to address the two matches that everybody is anticipating him being in.
Yeah,
it's the thing everybody wanted to see more than anything else. It's supposed to be Bryan Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr. That's the match we all want. Well, guess what? You're not getting it.
No, nope, not this time. Yep, keep waiting.
And I thought about what Bryan said too, because I noticed he did come out of the heel tunnel, and I looked at him like,
I love that part.
I was like, he is like at the beginning of his entrance, he comes out, and I'm like, he is still coming out of that tunnel. That's weird, because like Moxley, well, he doesn't come out of any tunnel.
He didn't come out of the tunnel.
Right, and but nobody else from Blackpool Combat Club comes out of that tunnel. It's just the Bryan thing. Mm-hmm. So I was like, it's weird that he still comes out of there. But and it's not like the wrestlers don't know. There's literally a sign in Gorilla that says heel and face.
Yeah, no, he knows what he's doing. He knows which tunnel he's coming out.
And like
out
of. Wrestlers know, okay, I'm a heel. I got to walk this way. I'm a face, I walk this way. It's there. They know. Even though I guess logically, the logic of it, I assume, is supposed to be that like they lead to different locker rooms.
It's always been exactly that. It's kayfabe. There's not the heels and the face in the same locker room. They'd be fighting back there if they were in the same locker room.
So it's supposed to be this one leads to this locker room, this one leads there. But like we've seen too much of the gorilla position. It's literally the same
place. It's just being the elite every week where they show exactly where the wrestlers walk through.
Right. No, they don't lead to different locker rooms.
No. and we've seen being the elite where they're all in the same locker room. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Except for the Bucks because they're rich.
Yes. And CM Punk, he gets his own too. Sting too. But
anyway. Oh yeah, I remember seeing that sign backstage where it's like, here's all the people that have that are, you know, above the big time players over here.
Yep. No, but so Bryan comes out and he's going to address Blood and Guts. He's going to address the
Forbidden Door. Yeah.
Yes. And so the question is, I'm sorry, I gotta read the super chat. It's Mike from Indeed says, happy Thursday, Media Man Reg and the King of Nipples together on a Thursday.
The King of Nipples, what's going on here? What happened here?
All right, so yesterday on Quizzlemania, you know, they do the guess the nipples game, right? I don't know how I guess
you knew all the nipples as I did. Gotcha. Okay. Now I'm caught right up. I'm caught all the way up.
But like, the worst part too is that I'm sitting there and you can see it happen in real time where like they bring up the nipples on screen and I'm like, I just kind of say out loud, I'm like, is that Ezekiel? And they're like, it is Ezekiel. And I'm like, fuck, those nipples. Damn it. Mm-hmm. Like, I shouldn't know that. And then after that, I forgot the other one I guessed, but it was just random. And I was like, Madcap Moss
and Denise you're guessing like, all the worst nipples too. And
she's like, it's Madcap Moss. I'm like, fuck, I shouldn't know these.
I shouldn't know these.
But I
especially
did,
so. Madcap Moss. Well, come on, man. Damn. How do we even say his name on this is Dynamite podcast? And his name still got brought up. I'm so pissed. It's your fight. See you on Sunday.
He said, who? I came out of the bad guy tunnel. I'm not telling you, but I'm not I'm not telling you, but I'm not telling Zach Sabre Jr. either. I love you, Brian. That was so great.
He's the best.
So Brian gives us the bad news. The bad news is that he is injured, and he will not be able to compete at either of the two events, Blood and Guts or Forbidden Door. So the Zack Sabre Jr. match he won't be in, and he also will not be in the big cage match, which I think we're all looking forward to seeing.
Both things, honestly, we've been waiting for. I think he was either one of the two or three most important people on the AEW side where people were like, who's Brian going to face? Who's Brian going to face? Who's Brian going to face? And now we're, and funny enough, the Zack Sabre Jr. match has been a match that's been requested for years now. They've wrestled maybe in 2008, like late the early 2000s, and people have been craving this match for so many years. It was so close, the closest.
I know. I hope that they still. Do pull something off, even just like in the summer, or not in the summer, but like in the fall. If you can, just do it. Right. Like we don't need the Forbidden Door as an event to have Bryan Danielson
to have that match,
right? Mm-hmm. Definitely. So after. So after he confirms that he won't be there, he says, you know, two pieces of good news. Good news is that he's still functional. He will be able to, he will be cleared eventually that this isn't like a career ender.
This isn't it.
Yeah. But the question is, who's the replacement? And Brian said he's not going to tell us. Damn it.
I thought this person was coming out. I was like, yes, here we go. Here it is.
Yeah.
Nope.
But he was like, I came out of the bad guy tunnel.
Right.
I ain't telling you shit. Mm-hmm. So that was a good little swerve on us. But who's it going to be? Well, you know, everybody has kind of guessed the same thing. I guessed immediately. I was like, well, everything Brian is describing sounds like Claudio. The way he's talking about somebody that he would trust to take his place. Right. And he said it's somebody coming into the Blackpool Combat Club. I thought that was an important detail.
Yep.
And this person is also taking his place in Blood and Guts. So it's not just like somebody coming in for a one-time thing. And he said that they're coming into AEW.
Right.
So it's not somebody also already on the roster, because I've seen some people guessing guys who are like already there, but Claudio makes the most sense.
It makes the most sense. I went right to the group chat after the Brian Pro one said, see Claudio on Sunday, because they set it right up for that. You know what I mean? Like,
my 8-year-old son is yelling, it's Cesaro. It's got to be Cesaro. I'm like, okay. An 8-year-old got this.
An 8-year-old's got it, it has to be what it was. And Yuta just did that interview where he was talking about Claudio too, saying he'd love to see where he's going to come or go or whatever. Like, they've been setting this up. We all know how Brian feels about Claudio. They were going to bat for each other their whole WWE career. So it's only fitting the Regal thing. Regal's attached to everybody that's in that, you know, so it all makes sense that it's Claudio. There's a couple of other guesses. I mean, it doesn't 100% have to be Claudio.
I mean, some people are guessing Johnny Gargano.
Yeah, Johnny Gargano is one that's been talked about. And today he just tweeted that he's going to be in Chicago. It's not a coincidence. It is a coincidence. He didn't know that this is going to happen. Yeah. We all believe you, Johnny Gargano. Totally perfect, right? And also ROH World Champion, Jonathan Gresham. He's been talked about for a while. Him and Zack Sabre Jr. have a showdown coming eventually too. Brian and Jonathan Gresham have a showdown coming. So, but I mean, Brian pretty much set it up as
Claudio. Like, Brian has talked about Claudio as like his guy for so long.
That's
his dude. They go back to Ring of Honor, which, by the way, like the perfect name to honor Ring of Honor, by the way, in the relaunch. But just in the way that, and that's another thing. If they do another Hall of Fame induction for Ring of Honor like they did this past year, that's another one that, like, I don't know. But, although, I mean, Claudio, I don't know. He's more of a Chikara name than anything else.
Yeah. I think so too. He has some attachments to Ring of Honor, but, you know. But yeah, going in, he could definitely be a name that's over there too. Like, he just fits so many roles, honestly, in every, like, not just AEW, not just New Japan, in every company ever. He's such a great get. So if it is him, No one's going to be upset. Everybody's going to be super excited. And then we get to see this match if it is him, Claudio and Zack Sabre Jr., and they're just going to tear the whole house down. So
you know,
on a card full of crazy stuff, this is going to be some crazy stuff, you know?
And I would also love to, I mean, like Blood and Guts with...
Blood and Guts. He has the past, the long, long super history past with Eddie Kingston that's like... real things, there's fake, there's all kinds of stuff. That story is just a story to be told. Can they coexist? Who knows? Who will ever know? It's just, this is just such an intriguing thing, man. Like, they got a crazy week of wrestling coming up.
Yeah. And I saw this question on Twitter. Corey in the chat is asking, is it a bad look that besides Max Caster, there are currently no African-American talent booked for Forbidden Door at this point? I'll see that two ways. One, I see it as a who without tokening the position would you put in that role right now? So there's that question I would ask. But then I ask the question of, but why aren't they in that role? So there's two ways to look at that.
Yeah, I pretty much account it to New Japan. I'm like, New Japan wants most of the people that are connected to this event to somehow have been or are connected to them. And like, what, there's one, Swerve is like the only one that's what doing New Japan Strong, and he hasn't been doing, like, there's no one that's like directly connected to both of the things that could be put into that spot. They could have definitely figured out a way to do it. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and say that it couldn't have happened, but you know how these things work,
right?
I'm not super upset about it.
And they're saying Keith Lee and Swerve. I know they're having a match. I want to say, I think it's happening at the Blood and Guts show against, like, they're doing the big blow off with Team Taz.
Yeah.
They shot two matches for those two teams at Elevation this week. And then they're going to have the big blow off match on the Blood and Guts show. I don't know if it's going to be taped on the Rampage. I mean, now I think about it, it's got to be done with two rings no matter what. But it's either going to be on the Dynamite, like before that match, or on the Rampage after the fact. But either way,
they're doing both tapings on the same day.
They're gonna do Rampage and Dynamite at Blood and Guts. So like, Rampage is gonna just have two rings the whole show.
I see. Interesting. It'll be like the old WCW days. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, I personally would have done just like two Blood and Guts matches because,
right? Like done that, I think you were talking about it.
Yeah, I talked about that before. Yeah, but they haven't announced the one, so I don't think they are.
Right.
So we kick off into the first match. First match was a 6-man tag that saw
Barn Burner, baby,
Orange Cassidy back in there with Roppongi Vice, taking on the team of Will Ospreay, his third AEW match, and Aussie Open.
All three matches have been fire. Yeah.
All
three. It's crazy.
This one, though, I feel like Orange Cassidy had a lot to prove to people here, and he was going to prove it. And
we just talked about Chikara, and this was old Chikara Orange Cassidy right here. This was it on display. Yeah.
Well, so, you know, because everybody's been asking, wait, you're going to do Will Ospreay versus Orange Cassidy? Like, those who knew what this was going to be were like, I'm cool with this.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people who are like, nah, I don't want to see Orange Cassidy doing a comedy shtick against Will Ospreay. And Orange Cassidy didn't hear. He's like, nah, he came straight in. Because I even heard somebody say, oh, we know the Orange Cassidy match. He does the sluggish thing for a few minutes, and then he kicks in and shows he can wrestle. And that, we've seen that before. And Orange Cassidy came into this match like, nah, I'm going to just come in to fucking wrestle. I don't have to do, like, you know, I'll do a couple of spots like
Orange Cassidy not fucking around with y'all. He came in to show y'all that he can work. Everybody keeps talking about people. You hear it online all the time. They're sick of his stuff. He needs to switch it up. He needs to do this. But why?
No, don't.
Nah. Why? Yeah, I think he's doing just fine. Like, everything's great. And he showed right here that when it's time to go, it's fucking time to go.
Speaking of which, though, I heard that this week here, there may be something. I need to confirm it, but I heard something cool is coming when it comes to Orange Cassidy for Forbidden Door. And if I confirm it, I will just tweet confirmed. But I heard about this one particular thing, and I forgot to ask the one person in AEW who would absolutely know. But
Tony Khan. So
I could do that, but it's funny when I like reach out to Tony with like stuff like that of like rumors I've heard, he'll just like leave it on, like he won't even confirm, like not even like a no comment. It's just the
he just moves on.
Yeah, no, I get left on red if I'm ever like, look, at least I asked, I can say I did, but I usually just get left on red. So,
But yeah, this right here was some, as I like to say, supreme spot foo, baby, from the jump. Balls to the wall. Red, everybody's doing hurricane ranas. Everybody's flipping. There's pile drivers. There's suplexes. There's all kinds of crazy shit. I love this so much, man. Everybody was just going ham, doing their thing. That pop-up pile driver from the legs thing was insane. Oh, shit, like, was so I'm like, dope. Yo, what is going on here? Will Ospreay, one of the best rushers in the world, when he goes 100, he goes 100, and he was on display here. Orange Cassidy went ham, man. He hit all of his spots incredibly, man. This was that shit right here. I loved it.
Oh, yeah, but shout out to Aussie Open, by the way, because like I've been exposed to a lot of their work, but not enough to like really feel like I care. But, man.
They looked like a big deal here, like especially next like to Ospreay, because he looks like a big deal, and they like brought it 100. Yeah, they were dope.
Now I'm really looking forward to Orange Cassidy versus Will Ospreay. I think
that's I usually hate when they do a match with both people that are going to be in the match and the weekend. I hate that. It's like, just give me the match on Sunday. I don't want to see them in any capacity physically before the big match. But this right here was the opposite of that. This got me more excited because I was like, okay, now you see what Orange Cassidy's going to do when he gets in there with Ospreay. It's about to be on fire.
This was so good. I had so much fun with this. This was exactly what Orange Cassidy needed to kind of show the world, to just shut everybody up. Like, nah, I can go. Like, you want to put me in a New Japan match? You think I don't deserve this
spot? Yeah, here we go.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to you. And he did. And everybody showed out here. I agree. This gets a solid A from me.
Yeah.
This was honestly.
This is an opening contest, Matt. Like, do it. Go outside, out, balls to the wall. First match. Get the crowd into the show. This was that times 10. This is how you fucking do it right here. Six men. They keep talking about trios titles. Like, this is what you're going to get when those titles finally hit the scene. Yes. You're going to get a whole bunch of this.
Yep. ShotKid29, by the way, says, someone on Twitter made a good point. TK has likely already spoken to Claudio since he has the same agent as Athena.
Oh.
All right.
Okay.
Didn't know that. And Van Twin Blade says, anyone still hating on OC owes me money.
Yeah, I don't get it. But, you know, people are going to ride something into the grave until they can. So
I mean, look, this is what I'm noticing, by the way. Going to bring it around full circle. I know this is day after Dynamite, but we're going to talk just a little WWE for a second.
Yeah.
It amazes me right now, but it is a good... it is a good test of how things will look in the future. What I mean is the way people speak with such fondness for John Cena right now, you would almost think that that man was not the most hated wrestler on the face of the internet for 10 years. I love John Cena, by the way. Like, are you kidding me? I own his fucking spinner belt. Like, I was a John Cena guy, but I sat and watched a lot of people trash on John Cena for 10 years, the most hated wrestler, and it was in the arena. Dog,
he was getting dogged every show.
Dogged. But now you hear it from people, and it's like, I even saw somebody say that they've never seen disrespect for John Cena. I was like, were you not on the internet even like 5 years ago? But
that's crazy to me.
Yeah, I know.
Knowing, seeing, and being in arenas, with being at WrestleManias where people hate this man, and I hear it. And people are mad that he's coming out. That sounds
2014
crazy.
Was the birth of people saying to his song, John Cena sucks. Yeah. Right? But you hear it now, and like people just agree with the idea that he's the GOAT. And so
nostalgia is looking, it's like, damn, this guy was the guy the whole time. And so,
but I say this, and my point here is that folks will get their flowers when it's time, especially right. when like the majority of their career is in hindsight. And so I say that, and I think about guys like the Young Bucks, right? The Young Bucks are going to get their flowers, but it's going to come. And they say it all the time themselves. They're like, "Way later, appreciate it, so we're gone." Yeah, they're going to get their flowers. Somebody like Orange Cassidy, like he's not even that hated because in arenas they love him.
Yeah,
but he's going to get his flowers. And I just feel in general, like hate is usually just kind of an in the moment thing, but in hindsight, people, you know, the wrestling fans in general are so nostalgic that they will absolutely give it to, they will give their due, but it's usually in hindsight, it's after the fact. People are going to be like, man, Adam Cole, wasn't he one of the best? We loved Adam Cole, never talked trash on him. Like, we know how this
remember goes. Adam Cole's 2018 run so grow. It's all this, it's always going to happen. People are praising Raw Underground at this point, so.
Dude, I said this on Grapsity, right? Like, stop showing me the Thunderdome. Stop showing me Daly's Place. Like, I don't want to see that stuff. Stop talking about.
I don't
want
to see it.
Man, don't we miss these times? No.
No, we don't. We do not. Like,
this
we
is just proof that wrestling fans are so nostalgic for literally anything.
Anything. They're nostalgic for something that happened 6 months ago. It doesn't stop. Like, they just, in the moment, everything sucks. But, well, you know what? Looking back, it wasn't that bad when I stopped hating for 5 minutes. Yeah, that's how these things work, you guys.
So the post-match here, though, was great. So we had Jeff Cobb, Great O'Khan come down, and all of a sudden now our baby faces are outnumbered. It's 3-on-5, but fans already start chanting FTR, FTR. Ooh. Till their music hits. Massive pop.
Insane.
For FTR.
When did the switch happen? I feel like when we talked to them in the scrum after ROH, like it was starting, and we were like, how do you guys feel about getting these baby face pops? And they were like, ah, it's feeling kind of weird. But now it's like, yo, the crowd is hot for these guys, man. That was a crazy pop.
I said on Twitter today, the change in their theme music was one of the best things that could have been done for them. Mm-hmm. Like, just the way people get down to it, the way I watch people around me, just they hear that opening beat. And
honestly, at first I didn't know, I didn't get it, I didn't understand. I was like, "What is? Why are you guys doing this old school thing?" But now I'm like, "Oh, I totally get it. It makes sense. It's the revival."
No, honestly, I can't even listen to their old themes and feel like positively about them because I'm like, you know, this is
no
cool.
more. Say
yeah, we go hard. Yeah, and then the other one they had. When they first came in AEW, nah, man, like just give me the Dark Side of TR theme. Mm-hmm. That one is,
it's them.
That one's great.
It is.
But yeah, they come down, they even the odds. We also got a little bit of confirmation on injuries that like we've kind of known about,
right?
But I didn't know that anybody
they just started saying everything out loud. They were like,
it was like,
everything's looming, but no, we're going to confirm right now.
Yeah, like I noted a few weeks ago, some may recall, that if you looked at the poster for AEW hitting Rochester, they removed Jeff Hardy and they also removed Samoa Joe from that poster.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was curious.
Yep.
But now they're just like, yeah, Samoa Joe injured. Mm-hmm. Like, okay.
There's that.
But they
did it a couple of times in this show.
They
Scorpio,
did.
Red Velvet, like a bunch of them where they were like, out loud, you guys are hurt. I'll see you when you come back, you know?
Yeah, and like the Red Velvet one was interesting because like that's another one we've known about for a while, but I don't know. I won't get into the details of that, but we just recently interviewed Red Velvet. But so the most talked about moment, I would say, from the show, you would think would have been Okada, but it wasn't. It was actually Tony Schiavone in the ring ready to interview Christian motherfucking Cage.
When Christian came out with that fit, that brunch fit, I knew what time it was. When he had them brunch boots on, I was like, oh, Christian's on some different time today. It's over.
Look, I forgot how great Christian is at this. Like,
it almost makes me mad that he's ever a babyface. I never want to see smiling as Christian unless it's setting this up. So I guess I do kind of want to see it.
Well, so the thing about Christian is he made a career for himself as a heel. This is
creepy
Christian
little bastard.
He's a creepy little bastard. But like, even you know, he was Edge and Christian, like when I watched them as a duo, like one, I forget how like absolutely funny those two were, but I was literally watching a Raw from just like last night I was watching a Raw from about 20 years ago, and like legit the funniest thing that Christian used to do, Edge and Christian used to do, was, you know, remember in 99 they would come through the crowd and the crowd would, the camera would do like the panning around, and then they would find him and they come down and then they turn heel, and for like a year they would still do the camera pan around, where's Edge Christian, and then they just be on the ramp. Legit, that is one of the funniest spots you could possibly do. Because every time Edge and Christian's music would hit, where are they? Crowd fans would be looking around, and they're like, oh, they just came out the ramp.
Nope, they're just right there. Just
right there. And they would just come out with this shit-eating grin. They'd just be smiling like, what? And so, yeah, Christian, you know, he pretty much was a heel that entire first WWE run. And, you know, he turned on Edge. He was a comedy heel. He was always good at it. And then, you know, he was a face in the beginning of TNA, and then he turned heel halfway through that run. And then he joined WWE again. He was a babyface till he turned heel in the Randy Orton feud. And then he was basically a babyface again till the end. But I'll tell you, when Christian gets to just be solid solo baby or solid heel, he's still good at this.
I loved it. Yeah, it was great. He came in with I started this gangster shit, and this motherfucking thanks I get. Like, y'all are eating off of what I built, and I'm tired of it. Jungle Boy, no more. No more.
There was a number of things that I liked here. Like, one, I like that he... Yeah, of course, Christian's going to spend his career being compared to Edge. So everybody's going to put this up against the Judgment Day. No contest. Like, he didn't have to change who he is, change his gimmick, change nothing. He really was just like...
The lights were on.
Yeah. He basically said... his new shirt, they're talking about the... It just says, worked everyone. Instead of work everyone.
I love it.
Great shit. So the thing that Christian did best here was explained that he took it all the way back to Double or Nothing over a year ago.
He made it petty.
Yeah, it was like, that man eliminated me from the Battle Royal. And so I was like, fuck it, I'm going to join and ride his coattails and make money off of him. And then once the money ran dry, fuck him.
I'm out.
Like, oddly enough, kind of made sense. Granted, you have to kind of ignore, like, him feuding with Kenny and all of that.
Yeah. It's fine. No, that's what a heel does. You're supposed to ignore those parts.
Yeah. But, I mean, sound here. Like, he was like, look, these guys were my meal ticket. I didn't have to do anything.
I'm just kicking it. Yeah. I just have to be their mentor. That's it. Yeah. Make this money.
I know. And it was great stuff. Great stuff. Yeah, there was the crowd chanting, shut the fuck up, and they zoom in on the kid who's chanting, shut the fuck up.
Top AEW moment of all time. Little kid on camera chanting, shut the fuck up, at Christian on national television. That was real. Amazing moment. I love it here. Christian, like I tweeted about, started, I think, MJF writing a couple notes for him, because he went that MJF route. You know, it was like building towards it. You're like, it's don't happening. You're doing this MJF thing. Don't say it. As soon as he started talking about his mom, you're like, don't do it. Don't do it. He did it.
Yeah, that was exactly how I felt. It was the moment he brought that up, and I'm like, oh, no.
Don't. Please don't, Christian. Nope, he did it. Yep, he went right for it.
He did it. He went for it. The crowd, though, was nuclear for this. They were just like, fuck you, Christian. Like, he got so much heat.
Yeah,
they're asking, did we see the kid dressed up as Will Hobbs? I did.
Oh my god, yes, of course. Amazing. I loved it so much. Little Will Hobbs, like, you guys don't understand. I used to talk to this guy before he got to the company. He had 200 followers or something. We would talk about these moments right here. little kids in the crowd just being enamored with someone who's a heel. He's a bad guy. He's not supposed to have little kid fans. And there's a little kid dressed up as him in his freaking overalls that Nuck Nuck, shout out to Nuck Nuck, made. This is amazing, man. I loved it. That was a great moment.
Honestly, the thing that I think is lost on a lot of people, and I see this when I go to AEW shows, and when I go to shows in general, is the amount of kid fans that a lot of these people are developing right now. Yep. And I see it like all around. You know,
Darby and Orange Cassidy have, oh my God, the little kids love these guys. They love them. The Acclaim, your kids love the Acclaim. You know what I mean? There's so many there's so many of these people that they don't realize that like they have a different following than what we see online, you know? Yeah.
I have seen little kids doing the scissoring thing, not knowing what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, just because they love the Acclaim. Max Caster's funny, dude.
Yeah, that's it. And it's great stuff. Shout out to a little more of the super chats. We had Jake Salazar says, just tuning in late, but justice for Will. he also said Tony doing the drum roll was the real highlight.
Oh my God. Tony Schiavone and Stokely and Tony Schiavone and everybody, honestly. What a guy, man. He made such a transition from from hating pro wrestling, never wanting to see this shit again, to like being one of the best parts of current pro wrestling. That's like an amazing story, man.
Yeah, it was great. But then, so Christian is his. He's interrupted by Luchasaurus, who comes in to attack him.
Luchasaurus is like, what the fuck? Yeah. Can't be talking shit like this. I'm about to back my little homeboy up.
Yep. But then Christian says something to him, and he says, hey, remember Marco. Don't forget about Marco. And
Christian was in his bag, boy. Oh, my God. Don't forget about Marco. Luchasaurus, listen, man. He was like, hey, you know what I mean? You're right. Yeah, this is real. I'm backing up. I'm backing up off you. But Christian has he's been manipulating big, giant, tall guys for years. That's his favorite thing to do. He loves having a big muscle guy behind him. He's famous for that. So this kind of actually makes a lot of sense.
This is great. This is fucking great.
Yeah. Christian. He did it. He brought it home. That's how you bring it home with the fucking promo. Like, people are like, what's Christian going to say? And he said it. He did it. Now everybody wants to see Jungle Boy kick his ass. And that's how wrestling works.
Jake said, when these kids see OC versus Ospreay, they're going to think it's the greatest match they've ever seen.
Seriously. Yeah. Honestly. Yeah. They're going to go ham.
And then we had Penta Oscuro versus Malakai Black. The winner advances in the All Atlantic Championship, I guess not really a tournament anymore. You're advanced to a Fatal Four Way, and I think we all knew Malakai was going to win this.
Yeah,
I kind of think Malakai should win the whole thing.
The whole thing. But Miro, man, because people are HOTTTTT for Miro.
So Miro's an interesting case where I feel like there's a lot more you can do with Miro to where he doesn't necessarily need to have a title right now. Whereas Malakai's kind of in that Jade Cargill position where Jade Cargill needed to have a title in order to add some prestige to facing her. Because it wasn't just about the streak, right? It became a... okay, beating her needs to mean something.
Right.
And protecting her wins also could mean something if she's not just holding on to the streak, she's holding on to a championship. And so that was where I kind of started to relate this to Malakai. We're like, Malakai needs to kind of have challengers at his door a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. The House of Black doesn't need to be chasing people down. People need to be chasing him down.
Right. Yeah. And people kind of need to be showing up at, no pun intended, or I guess metaphor intended, or I guess it was.
Don't.
But showing up at the doorstep of the House of Black, right?
Oh,
like
God.
people want to get to them, and I feel like
a championship title would be a way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Now, that said, everybody in the chat saying, no, Pac, give it to Pac. And I'm like, yeah, obviously, I want to see Pac rewarded. Pac's been with the company since day one. Pac is somebody that I do want to see
reward
with a championship for just having been there as long as he's been there. And you know, AEW actually just recently put up for sale, and I bought one of them. They've put up like old episodes of Dynamite for sale. Like they're like $1.99 a piece. And I went and bought some old Dynamites. But part of the reason for that is the pack stuff. Like the early stuff with Kenny is so good.
Yeah.
That's all He's stuff I wanted fire. To see again.
He's never not hit it out of the park, so.
I bought, by the way, my all-time favorite episode, the February 19th, 2020 episode with the that had the Hangman and Kenny versus Lucha Bros match and the Steel Cage with Cody and Wardlow. My favorite matches. I know you can get them for free, all right? But as the chat is saying, they're like, well, you can get those for free. Look, do you know, spending $1.99 and having the ability to watch it on YouTube, which is universally available. I don't have a device in my house that can't play YouTube. Do you know $2 to me is worth
it? Don't pirate, kids. I'd never do. Never. I watch all my stuff legally.
But yeah, they're selling like the full old episodes on YouTube. Like they got the first Dynamite on YouTube. Mm-hmm. They've got like Sting's debut. Like they've got a lot of full episodes. And you can like buy them in seasons for like $7.99 or buy them individually for $1.99. I started to buy like a full season. I'm like, I really just want one episode out of this. When I said earlier, I'm not watching any more Daily's Place content. Like it's going to be a long time before you can convince me. I don't care what it is. Like I saw they were selling the Parking Lot Brawl episode and I'm like, that was great. Still not watching it again. I don't want to watch none of that. Right. Like I
think I'd be interested to watch the episode where the Private Party beats the Young Bucks, just so I can see my favorite sequence ever, Mark Quinn with the upper. I love that. Yeah, I might go back and buy that. That's a good deal. I didn't know that they had these episodes. A lot of people they always ask about this content because they want it to be in an AEW type app, but you could get you AEW episodes if you go and find them on YouTube.
I know YouTube sells them and you can buy them on Amazon Prime as well. I did YouTube just because, like I said, I don't have a device that can't play YouTube.
Right. Get YouTube anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's that. And they're saying in the chat, the pandemic episodes still hold up. I know.
I'm okay. Yeah, I'm okay.
When
you hear a crowd like last night, you're like, I can't go back to not that. That sounds weird, you know?
I know, right? Like, maybe I could watch the Shaq match again.
Yeah.
But, like, for the most part, I don't know. And maybe
after end of being Red Velvet, I actually do kind of want to run it back. Because I was like, oh, yeah, that Shaq match. That's crazy. Like, that's a match in AEW history that I remember, but I don't, you know. Like, there's so many things I kind of want to go back and see. Because, like, Shaq had a match.
Oh, before this match, by the way, we get the announcement that Sting has a challenge for the Bullet Club, that for one night only the Bucks will be back in the Bullet Club. Kyle O'Reilly is upset. He's pretty freaking far from okay, as he said. And word has it that he's like really injured.
Hurt.
What I'm hearing, like he's hurt and he is I think Tony Khan confirmed it today that he said both members of Red Dragon are injured.
Damn.
But he noted, but one's a kayfabe injury. One is they smashed Bobby Fish's leg with the chair, so he's hurt. And that's the one he's got to sell. But like Kyle's like actually hurt. Is going to be out for some time.
What is this everybody attached to Samoa Joe's hurt type thing? This is crazy out here.
I mean, in general, just like across the business. I mean, we literally just watched Cody Rhodes wrestle with the fucking purple booby like that. If Randy Orton's hurt, but then
we did watch Purple Titty Rose,
top of this show, Brian's hurt, CM Punk, like literally crowning an interim champion. Like the bug is catching right now.
Careful out there, you guys. Jeez Louise, this sucks, man.
Out there.
Is that why I have to watch Silas Young on this fucking show last night? Oh god, dude, I don't even want to talk about it. Jeez Louise, why?
But
everybody was like, okay, we're going to get to it. Yeah, we're finishing up. Malachi Black got the victory. They did a bunch of people were kind of upset that they did a second rope pile driver and that wasn't the finish. But you know how these things go, man.
I mean, I don't know why people are still surprised by this. Like, you know what's going to be the finish. It is going to be their finisher. Like,
yes.
You know.
That's it. You know it. Don't get yourself upset. You know that that's not the finish. The finish is going to be Malakai Black with the fucking blackout, you know? Mm-hmm. What? But yeah, great match. They did a lot of cool stuff. It was about as great as we thought it would be. It set up Malakai Black got the victory. Pac came out to confront Malakai Black, and he was kind of stepping up. The energy he was giving to Penta was kind of weird. I don't know if that was just me saying that, but he stepped over Penta kind of weird. Immediately, Miro hits the screen to just, oh my God, this promo that Miro cut was.
Miro's so good. You know what, though? I'm looking forward to this match in particular because Miro talked about when he left WWE, the first thing he said was like, when people are like, you're going to AEW? And he said, you know, I'm really interested in New Japan, was what he had said.
Right.
And so, like, I know that that's a run.
This is the forbidden door to Miro to cross over.
I think that's probably where Miro would have stopped off initially if there wasn't a pandemic.
Agreed.
Like, if he would have been able to work New Japan regularly, I think that's something he would have done. And he had said that's what his vision was on, was kind of wanting to prove that he's also a wrestler, that, you know, a lot of the reasons people liked Miro for a long time was a lot of character stuff. And he's like, you know, I got some stuff I want to prove. And that's what he wanted to do, was work in New Japan. And this is kind of his chance to get to do so.
Yep. This match is going to be badass. Fucking four-way, Miro.
Yeah. Pat, I'm not sure how I feel about there being two four-ways on the show.
Yeah.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Happens when you're trying to fit a million wrestlers in, you know, there has to be multiple multi-man matches. There's the 5-on-5 match. So it's 4-on-4, not 5-on-5. But yeah, there's a lot going on.
Well, I'll say that New Japan is like big on multi-man tag matches.
They are.
And so multi-man tag matches actually don't bug me because like that's a New Japan staple. But it's really like seeing 2 4-ways on one show. That's a little much for me.
I agree.
But yeah, this was fine. This gets a B- from me. Malakai and Penta worked decently together, and match was exciting. People were into it. Can't really ask for much more than that.
Nope.
Silas Young versus Adam Page, though.
I get it. I tweeted about it. What is Silas Young doing here? And people were tweeting to me like I didn't watch Ring of Honor. I watch Ring of Honor. I know everything about Silas Young there is to know. That's exactly why I don't want to see him on my TV right now. Oh, he's from Milwaukee. I don't care, dude. There's a bunch of people that could have filled this spot. They were trying to sell us an old Ring of Honor feud, but that feud wasn't something that people are like, I need to go and watch Ring of Honor to see Adam Page and Silas. No, nobody's like, that's not something we're clamoring to see a resolution for. And I just didn't like it. This was the only part of the show I was kind of bored, honestly.
I thought that this should have been a lot quicker. This didn't need to go through a commercial break at all. We know what we wanted to see. We wanted to see the post-match. Everybody was excited for the post-match. It's all we wanted here. And it took way too long to get there. And I say that, and I'm looking at the match time, and it was only 8.5 minutes. But oh, man, it felt like the longest 8.5 minutes.
If you would have said it was 8, I'm thinking you're lying, because that seemed like 18 minutes how long it was. Jeez Louise. There was a break in everything.
Yeah. Like, and the match wasn't even bad. It wasn't. I wasn't interested in seeing Silas Young.
No.
And Billy asked me the question. He said, why is his name Silas Young? He looks old.
Right there, man. It is right there. You gotta change your name. Billy brings up very valid points, okay?
I know, right? Like, this is the first time he'd ever seen Silas Young, and he's like, I was expecting somebody a lot younger.
Valid points, man.
Like, hey, wait till you see Jason Kidd.
Oh, yeah, but, for real. It's going to blow your mind.
And let's read a couple of super chats here. Got another one from Jake. Well, you read that one. He said, so in kayfabe, is Christian going to act like Jungle Boy accidentally killed Marco?
I don't know. He's acting like he sacrificed him or something crazy.
And he said, like, Jesus, that FTR pop is the best in wrestling. It's a great pop. And Jake, thank you for the super chats, by the way. You just keep coming from Jake. Like, he said, AEW has so many injuries, and they still put out a great product. But WWE loses Cody and Randy, and it's Brock Glass in case of emergency. Or case in, Brock Glass in case of emergency.
Like break glass, Brock Glass. Yeah. That's a great pun. I love it. I love how you're playing it.
Oh, no.
Oh, we're being attacked. No, it's attack mode. No, get out of here.
Yeah, hold up.
Leave us alone, sex box.
Yep. The bot's coming in the chat. I was actually wondering. I was like, hey, they're late today.
Talking about AEW, the bots are going to come up, baby. Yeah.
Gross. And so, anyway, we get Jay White. Mm-hmm. And Jay White is, everybody's wondering, who's his challenger going to be?
Mm-hmm.
And
I was convinced by multiple people, including somebody I'm talking to right now, that his opponent might quite possibly could. There's a potential that Kenny Omega was going to be walking out there.
I think Kenny's going to be at the show. I don't think this show goes by without something from Kenny Omega.
He's going to be on the screen on Sunday in some capacity.
I fully believe so.
Yeah.
I think that I don't see a scenario where he's not involved in this.
Where he's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are thinking that he maybe confronts the winner of this match.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is, every single one of these would make sense if he did confront the winner.
Every single one of them makes so much sense.
If he comes in, confronts Jay White, all that history there. Yep. Literally, even recent history, going back to Impact just a year ago.
Yep.
Lots of history there. Mm-hmm. Confronts Okada. Come on. If there's anybody you associate with being Kenny's greatest rival.
People want this match over here in America. Like, come on. Yeah. An easy one.
Is it the Hangman Adam Page? Again.
Yep.
the last time we saw Kenny, as a matter of fact, they're 1-1. That's a match that we got to have a rubber match for.
Now let's have it for the IWGP world title. Yeah.
If it's Adam Cole, baby, the guy who wasn't supposed to take over the Elite, the guy that Kenny said, hey, keep an eye after the Elite for me, Bucks. Sorry, I was talking to the Young Bucks, not you, Adam. There's a lot. I feel like if Kenny does anything at the show, it has to be in confrontation with the winner of this match.
Yep.
But yeah, so we got it, though. The coin dropped.
Woo.
Crowd lost it. It felt to me like glass shattering. Like, it was like we heard it, crowd knew exactly who it was. They went crazy. Okada was in the AEW arena.
This is, it felt weird. That's how crazy this moment is. Okada is like, in modern history, there's like two guys that are the best Japanese wrestlers to ever come out of New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we saw both of them on this show. We saw the two, arguably the two greatest modern Japanese pro wrestlers on this show tonight. And people have been saying that Okada's going to show up for a long time. It's a lot of people saying he's not going to show up for a long time. And the fucking coins dropped. People went ham. He didn't do anything. And it was still like, whoa, like Okada's on AEW Dynamite, American soil. He's going to wrestle at Forbidden Door. People were saying he wasn't going to be at Forbidden Door. Like,
I know.
This is such a fucking huge deal. It's insane.
And Okada, you know what was the tell that he was going to be at Forbidden Door? when they said he wasn't going to be at Forbidden Door.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's usually who, like, when it's going to start. Yeah.
Because the people who actually aren't at Forbidden Door, they just didn't say at all, right? No. Like, they haven't name-dropped Kenta. Nope. Like, they haven't name-dropped...
Naito.
Yeah, like, they just wouldn't have said it at all. But the fact that they were like, Okada's not even here. He's not even going to be here. And it's like, that's an old wrestling trope, like the whole so-and-so's not even in the arena tonight. Yep. And then they get attacked by him. Right, like, there. That's what this felt like to me. And Rainmaker's here. We got it.
Big deal, huge deal. Set up a pretty monumental match. Four-way.
Four-way.
Adam Cole, Adam Page, Jay White, and Okada for the IWGP World Championship. This is a huge match, huge deal, all kinds of stuff. There's mystery around this because, you know, things are in the air.
I'm curious what, and yeah, they're saying in the chat, like, Jay's not losing. Of course Jay's not losing.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone expects that.
Yeah. I mean, I could see Okada getting it back, but, just to change it up, I don't know. But
I kind of feel like they're going to play off of what happened at MSG. Okada beat Jay White to win the championship in New York. So they're back in America. So Jay White needs to get. He needs to get his victory over. So, I see Jay White getting the victory here, definitely. Yeah. So,
but that said, I don't know how good to go Adam Cole actually is.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest mystery. That's what I was what I was thinking about as this brawl was happening. Like, should Adam Cole even be in there? He's like, he's not super active, but, you know, he's getting punched. He's taking stuff. He's doing things. So. Last I checked, Adam Cole wasn't, you know, super ready to go. So when they announced this match, I was like, wow, that's a mystery to me. That should be interesting to see what's going to happen here, what Adam Cole's going to do through all of this. So mysteries.
Yeah, he's bit by that injury bug too. So we'll see what Adam Cole does or if they can smoke and mirror this one to protect him.
No!
And Jake said, can I at least click the link first? Because I banned that bot.
You got to see what it leads to, right? Am I right?
Also said, do you see Adam Page winning the IWGP title and Tanahashi winning the AEW title like a title swap just to cause chaos? LOL. I've seen that theory presented that Tanahashi wins the AEW title, takes it to New Japan, and defends that over there for like the next couple months and then until Punk's ready to come back. And then the IWGP title is defended here. I don't think that's happening.
I cannot see that. No, it's not. That's like you said. I thought about it for a second, but then you said it out loud, and I'm like, no way. New Japan will never let their title just be over here being defended or doing whatever. No.
Yeah.
Would be cool. Super cool. Sounds like a great idea. You know.
Maddie said, of course, the bots come during this podcast. AEW is pretty much like sex. I mean, did you hear that coin drop? Still in shock, it happened.
Y'all are so funny, man. AEW is like sex.
He said that Mark SRS fell for Okada not coming.
Mark boy, got your ass, SRS. Ha ha.
Yeah, he stole my victory yesterday anyway. So this was great. This was a moment. This was a hell of a moment. The match itself, like C minus, but the moment here, Okada showing up was huge. I really loved that.
Yeah, that was an A. Oh, and earlier we didn't mention when Brian, Zack Sabre Jr. actually came out to confront Brian and did his little shtick. Yeah, and people were like super excited about that too. So yeah, New Japan Pro Wrestling was in the fucking building here, man.
Yep. And so we had two promos, one before this, one after, but we had, so Stokely.
Oh my goodness. I love
Stokely
it.
Is so great. And, the best. They announced that they're looking for a new baddie. Hopefully this doesn't end like the search for Spears, tag partner thing. No, I'll say this though. That got us Baron Black. Baron Black.
Double B to homeboy,
It did enter in the search for Spears.
Mm-hmm.
In case people don't remember that, but
first of all, I want to say thank you for this, the baddie search, because it's going to lead to us seeing a bunch of baddies. It's like there's nothing wrong that could happen here. This is probably one of the greatest things. Like Forbidden Door, that's cool. Baddie Search, whoa, 5 stars, bro. It's lit. Let's go, baby. I'm trying to see what's going on here.
I genuinely believe Stokely Hathaway is like the funniest dude on television.
Seriously. That press conference that he did. Press conference.
He said, I'm gonna get Pitbull. He said, he said you love animals? He said, nah, I'm gonna buy him and make him stop rapping.
Oh man, he's the best. Yeah. What a great signing. I knew it. Like, I'm not surprised one bit. Like, I knew that this exactly what was happening, what's happening was going to happen. That's why when he got, you know, released from WWE, or he didn't sign a new contract with WWE, I knew if he gets on TV over here, he's gonna have even more brain to do what he, you know, do what he does the best, and he's doing it right here, man. He's amazing. Like, and perfect pairing with Jade Cargill. This promo was great. He said, my sister's in Christ. Keep it PG at the end for all the baddie search. What a guy,
and,
man.
And also, Jade, play it up. She said, why don't we keep it 100?
Oh, I feel so bad for Athena, man. Like, they're never going to let her live this down, ever.
No. But isn't wrestling the best when you take real stuff and
definitely
sprinkle it in? Because then Athena and Chris Statlander, I thought, had a lot of fun in their comeback. Mm-hmm. And they were talking their shit. They're being perfectly dorky, yes, which is who the two of them are.
Yes. I want people to stop trying to attack Athena. That's who she is. You can't be mad at who she is. She's not playing a role. She's not acting like anything. That's her. Which one?
Oh, no. What? Everybody in the chat saying Ishii is out?
Since when?
What? No.
What? Come on, you guys. We all like that. Miro just said he was going to send him to his maker, and his maker better tell him what's up. Come on, man.
Wrestling
is insane, dude.
Oh, yep. Clark Connors is the official replacement.
What, dude? No. Yep.
As of 2 minutes ago.
Bro, replace Shingo with Clark Connors and put Clark Connors in that damn Two Dudes with Attitudes match, man. What's going on here? Like, why are y'all? Oh, man. Come on, dude. I'm tired of injuries. Dude, this sucks. You guys, stop it. I don't know what the fuck's in the water, but we're tired of it. Oh, God. Come on, man. Damn it. That was going to be a badass. It's still going to be a badass match, but damn, dude, that sucks.
Yeah, I know.
Get well soon, Ishii. Damn. Fucking shit.
Damn.
That sucks.
And like, we know Clark Connors is who he beat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know exactly. Shingo. But yeah, fuck, that sucks. A match has changed right there like that. This is crazy, man. This is all the top stars are. I don't know if it's, no one's really working extra. Like, I know the pandemic happened, but that was such a long time ago. People have already, like, everybody's been at it for such a long time now, it feels.
I mean, just sometimes. Like, I brought up a couple weeks ago, I brought up the year 2007 as just the year where people were just getting hurt left and right. And there was no real, like,
there's not theme. Any real reason. It's just, yeah, it was just because
it just happened. It was like a bug that was catching. Right. You know, you had Hunter get injured in January, and then Shawn Michaels gets injured. Like, DX just got injured.
Yeah.
And, like, they were functioning as DX, and then there's, like, nah.
And then Cena got hurt in 2007, too, huh?
Yeah, oh, Cena got hurt.
Down bad.
Taker got hurt. Batista got hurt. No, Batista didn't get hurt. Batista was the only one who was around that whole year. But Taker got hurt. Edge got hurt. Edge tore his pec. That was it. And Bobby Lashley got hurt. Like, that was just left and right. All the top guys, one by one, we're just getting picked off that year.
But now this is happening in multiple companies. This isn't just one company. Like, every company has wrestlers affected by this shit, man.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's bad. And damn, like, I can't believe this.
Shit. Damn.
Yeah.
This is insane.
They're saying Purple Titty Edge. You know, Edge is, if I remember correctly, Edge had the pectoral tear. He had a partial pectoral tear, and he took like a few weeks off, and then Taker got hurt, and they were like, we got to put the world title on Edge.
Mm-hmm.
And so Edge took the world title, worked like a month, and then had a complete tear of his pec. And so then Edge had to relinquish the title too. And Mr. Kennedy, that he got hurt too.
Oh, I forgot about
that. Because he had the money in the
bank.
He
had the briefcase.
He had the briefcase. He had to hand it to Edge, or he had to lose it to Edge in a kind of a squash because he was hurt. Everybody was getting hurt in 2007. Mm-hmm. It was just a crazy, crazy year for injuries.
But then they came back because the most famous Twitter throwback picture ever, WWE in 2008. You guys remember? Such a great time. Remember 2008? Like, no one could ever stop reminding us of it.
Right after that picture was taken, like, Orton got hurt. That was where he broke his collarbone.
And, oh, my God. Ridiculous.
So, it's just, it's a time. Let's see. Jake said, honestly, a little salty that Ricky Starks ain't going to be on the pay-per-view. And when he said, my sister's in Christ, keep the photos PG, I literally spit out my drink because I was not expecting that. And he said, but that will stick with Athena forever.
Now she might say something else at this rate.
Yeah. So, damn, though. Yeah, I know, right?
That sucks.
So, Marina Shafir versus Toni Storm. I am not feeling Marina Shafir.
I watched the match again earlier.
Ooh, you watched it twice. Look at
I
you.
I watched it two times. And I was going to shoot her some bail. It wasn't that bad. But I just don't think anytime they try to use her to fill the role, she never fits it. Like anytime they need somebody to do what they think she's going to do, she doesn't do it. And that's not her fault. It's just like they need to set her up better. And they just never do.
You know who was kind of the highlight of this match? Nyla Rose on the outside.
Nyla Rose was hilarious when she came out doing the fucking playing the thing. I was already laughing. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, Toni Storm, I mean, Toni Storm's great.
Toni Storm's amazing. That's what I got out of the whole thing. It's like, oh, no, Toni Storm can go. Like, she could do everything that's needed to be the top person in her division. So there is that. But Shafir, I don't know.
Something's not clicking with her. Yeah. And something's not clicking with these matches with her. And that's too bad. But
it's roof.
Yeah. Now, this was like a D for me. I was not really that into the match. I think it was better than the one with Thunder Rosa, but
yes,
otherwise this wasn't great. I'm looking forward to Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa. I think those are two people who I want to see go at it, and I think can have a great match.
Oh, nice transition. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. on the Body Slam YouTube page, me and Cassidy are interviewing the current AEW Women's Champion, Thunder Rosa, ahead of her match with Toni Storm. So I'm going to get to the bottom of this tomorrow morning if you guys aren't busy. Thunder Rosa. I'm excited because Thunder Rosa is one of my favorite wrestlers out there, and there's been a lot going on very recently. So we're going to talk about it. And, yeah, that match is going to be great. I think that hopefully they're given time. There's going to be 150 matches on the show. It's going to be 900 hours. So, you know, hopefully they have a nice place in there.
It's still less matches than Double or Nothing.
Oh, here he goes. Here he goes. Yeah, but every New Japan main event is like 45 minutes each. You do 45 minutes. We're cooking, bro.
Speaking of main events, we had our main event for the first time ever. Hiroshi Tanahashi having a match in AEW, and he teamed with Jon Moxley to take on the team of Chris Jericho and Lance Archer. Moxley, the guy. Speaking of which, if you haven't listened to him on it's just the Sessions now. I'll never get over the name Oral Sessions.
This show is going to be so long. I can't believe it's going to be 500 hours. I can't believe there's going to be 50 matches on it. And I can't believe each match is going to be an hour each. I cannot believe how long this show is going to be. It's going to be as long as this sentence I'm saying right now. This is going to be the longest show in history. As long as this sentence that I'm saying right now. I can't believe it. Bro, relax, man. Come on, I can say whatever I want, dude. Jeez Louise. Yeah, I'm going to watch every minute. That's the point. God damn it.
I'm going to be in the building.
Yes.
Front row, baby. But
you're going to be front row? You son of a gun. Always. Courtside Will in the building. I love it.
Yep. Tanahashi, John Moxley.
Yeah. This is the second guy that I was saying. It's the second, you know, biggest Japanese pro wrestler of our modern era is here in the main event of Dynamite. That's insane to me. It's crazy.
Shout out to Wrestle Banana for a point he made. And that was that JR has actually been on when it comes to introducing Japanese talent here.
Yes.
Like a lot of times people have given JR shit for especially talking about Japanese talent or Orientals, as he said before. But I feel like JR has actually had it
didn't register at first. That's funny. Yeah, no, I exactly what you're saying. When Okada came out, like he really made it a great point to be like, no, Okada's the fucking man. You guys have to know about this guy. Yeah, I agree. He has been great with all the introductions here.
Will Washington!
I was waiting for it. There he goes.
There he is.
I was, you know, I wasn't going to just interrupt Reg while he was talking. So I had to make the coin drop entrance and everything.
Let's go, baby. What you thinking about Ishii being injured, Jeremy? It's crazy
I just saw that. That's very upsetting because, I mean, Clay Connors, no knock on him. He's good. Yeah. But, I mean, Ishii, right? Like, that's the man right there. So, very disappointed. Ooh.
It's tough, man. What this injury thing is insane. Like, what the hell do you think is going on? What's in the water here?
Everybody's getting hurt. It's the style, I think, Reg. Too many head drops. They're going too hard. They need to wrestle a safer style like WWE. Nobody in WWE is hurt. So
nope.
They need
to wrestle zero a people safer there. Style. None of their big top guys are hurt. They're all safe over there.
Exactly. So I think they just need to wrestle a safer style in AEW and New Japan. Mm-hmm. That's really all it is.
Maybe they need to... Maybe their bones are just too brittle.
Not enough milk. Tony Khan, get on it, man. They need some milk back there, bro.
Milk? So I will tell you, I watched all of Dynamite and then flipped over to ABC in the last for the last period. Hey, yes. I got it right this time. I didn't say
yes,
quarter.
Good job, not a quarter. Good job, Will.
Yeah, that's right, because hockey is in thirds for some reason. But so I watched the third period. It was tied. Or no, so
it was tied early. Correctly, yeah, we tied it up early. With like 2 minutes to go. Or 2 minutes in the 2 minutes to
but they went into the third. The Avs were down one. I think it was 2-1.
Yeah, we're down one, tied it up 2 minutes into the third.
Yeah. Tied it up and then it goes into overtime.
Yeah, very stressful.
And I was watching intently in all through overtime. And then my kids yell, "Dad, can you come tuck us in?" And I was like, okay, but I better not miss the end of this game. And I come back, and it's been over for 5 minutes by the time I got back.
Everyone missed the end of the game because nobody saw the puck go in. I didn't know what was going on. I was so angry. I was like, oh, Vasilevskiy makes another save. I was so mad. And then they start celebrating, and so I just start celebrating. But this is rule number one of hockey, Will. Like you can't move. Like you can't get up, you can't go anywhere. You just the fiance is like, I've had to pee for hours, but I could not move to throw off the vibe. Like she understands you can't throw off the vibe in the middle of the game. She gets it. So bless her. One game away, Will. I'm feeling terrible about it that it's one game away, but it's there. It's there.
It is. It's Friday.
I don't want it to happen during the pay-per-view. I don't want it to happen during the pay-per-view.
Yeah. I glanced at tickets momentarily. I was like, all right.
They're rough.
Oh, it's rough. I was like, all right, maybe I could spend a few hundred dollars to go see the Avs possibly win the cup in person. lowest price. I said it to lowest price available, and it said $1,400.
When I was looking at game two, I told you it was like $800. And then by the time I checked like Friday morning, because I thought like, oh, I might just fly out like Friday morning, go Saturday. And it was still at like $600. And I'm like, that's still too much. You can go to Tampa for like $200. Could have gone to game three and four for like $200. Very cheap tickets out there. Guys, I'm not going to take your time. I got to make my run in. Reg, great to see you. I hope things are well with you. We are doing an NBA draft watch along at 7:45. If either of you guys would like to jump in on that, let me know and I'll send you the link. But yes, at 7:45, NBA draft watch along right here on Fightful Overbooked. So
NBA draft, baby.
Yeah, that's right. Myself, well, SP3, and a bunch of guests. What? Okay. Yeah. Finish up before I have to kick you off this channel, Will, so we can do our NBA draft.
Yeah, we're almost done. We're talking about the main event
on this wrestling channel.
Guys, love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Everyone, watch Grabs Hody. I know Will's not going to be there this week. SP3 is going to be there, though. SP3 is on the NBA watch along. Grabs Hody, noon Eastern on Saturday. Great interview with Red Velvet. You guys, I got the early peek at that, and great interview. You guys doing that, so
appreciate it.
You guys are awesome, doing good shit as always.
Yeah,
bye guys.
All right, we got a fuck Stan Kroenke going here. I don't know. He owns the Nuggets and the Avs, and so
is there buzz out there in Colorado for this hockey thing?
Oh yeah,
it's crazy.
Everybody, I mentioned I left a picnic. It was all everybody was talking about. Because look, man, Nuggets are obviously out. Basketball season's over now. Yep. But again, long as we lose to the eventual winner, I don't mind that so much. I'm always like, look, as long as our loss wasn't in vain. If we lose to somebody who then goes and gets themselves eliminated, it pisses me off because then I feel like, what the fuck did you guys do that for?
Mm-hmm.
Losing to the champs, though, not so bad. Which is why I was angry at Phoenix last year. And because look, all y'all had to do was keep going, and you didn't.
The
year before that, though, Lakers went on and got the championship.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, Nuggets, that's done. Football season hasn't started yet, but we do have Russell Wilson, so that'll be exciting.
Very exciting.
And I know my
Russell Wilson's on the Broncos. Wow.
Yeah.
That's how out of the NFL I am. Like, whoa, that's crazy. Yeah, I did not know that.
We haven't even seen him in a jersey yet. Whoa. I don't even know what that's going to look like. But look, one of the running jokes.
You'll get to see Sierra. She's going to be out there dancing and shit.
She's just around town now all of a sudden. Now.
That's awesome.
She was courtside at Nuggets games, and it was like, Sierra just lives here now. That don't even make any sense.
That doesn't make sense.
I could just pass her at Target and probably wouldn't even know it, but.
She's here.
This is just the world we live in now. The Sierra just lives here in town.
Love it. Mm-hmm.
I can't even comprehend this.
Right.
But yeah, so everybody's just excited about hockey right now because.
Dope. Good for y'all.
The thing we have going for us. Because look, the Rockies are 10 games under 500. So like. Baseball is also not in our favor, so it's just hockey's what we got.
Hockey's it, yeah.
Hockey's it, and we got a chance at a championship. We're one game away, so
dope.
I'm down. Ricardo says, "Love for my dudes, Will and Reg. Great work, y'all."
Yeah. Peace, Ricardo.
And Jake says, "Hell yeah, Will. We get to see Russ take us to the promised land. I hope." Look. 10 years ago, almost to the day, the Broncos traded for Peyton Manning. And people said, oh, Peyton's old, he's washed. And then he ended up taking us to the Super Bowl twice. Now, granted, one of those was embarrassing. But the other one we got the ring. So here we are 10 years later, some people saying the same thing. Picked up Russell Wilson. Everybody's like, he's washed. Yeah, he's washed. Not going to happen. Maybe. Or he's got another run left in him.
I don't think he's washed. I think I think he'll be able to put it together.
Yeah. I'm excited for this season. We'll see what happens. But anyway, this main event was a lot of fun. And Moxley got the show out.
Moxley got to say the F word on TV again.
He did. they have to remind us that Moxley is, like, every time he was in the ring with Chris Jericho, they're like, this is the first time these two have actually been in a ring together in a regular match, because they face each other in Anarchy in the Arena. But they got to have an actual match since. And they were bringing up all the history. They were like, Moxley hasn't forgotten getting his eye jabbed out by Chris Jericho and all of this. Yeah, Moxley got to flip off Sammy and Ty. Match itself is a solid B. I had fun with the match. The post-match was weird.
Pretty weird.
So I looked up. Match was over with 5 minutes to go. Mm-hmm. And I thought, 5 minutes? What are they going to do? Another angle? And then people started coming out, and I'm like, oh, yeah, they've got Blood and Guts.
They got to do the jam pack. The Blood and Guts is next.
They've also got to promote Blood and Guts. That's okay. We'll get there. And then they did this moment where
it was too cluttered.
Everybody was brawling around the ring, but Tanahashi and Moxley were supposed to be staring each other down in the middle of the ring. I got all of that. And I got what they were going for, but it went way too long. To the point of where Moxley and Tanahashi are kind of looking awkward as fuck, just standing there, not doing anything while all of this is happening.
Yeah, I agree. I thought I get what they were doing, but they should have just held off on that to like the very last second. But having them just in the ring while the chaos is going on,
it was a silly looking ending. Didn't like it. Didn't work the way they
but planned. I'm super excited about that match. I think that's going to be super fun. I love Mox's promo earlier in the show. I like him doing those little backstage things, just like, give Mox a minute, let him talk. He's gonna he always cooks in those, those situations.
I want to see Mox as champ again. I think that I think he's the GOAT AEW champ still. I think that, and the weird thing is, he never got it in front of a crowd.
Right.
He got to have one entrance in front of a crowd. He came through the crowd one time with the belt.
Yep.
And I was there. I know that show because I was at that show. And then a week later, everything shuts down, and Moxley didn't get to have that anymore. And I'm ready to see him have a run with the championship draped on his shoulder.
Yep.
And get to be the guy on the show again. Mm-hmm. Listening to Moxley on the sessions today, I felt it. I felt everything he had to say there. And I felt his story. I, as a non-alcoholic, I've always heard about how hard withdrawals can be. Mm-hmm. But I guess the one thing I hadn't heard it from or heard about it from was like directly from somebody who's had to deal with it, who was literally using alcohol to level themselves out, to just feel normal. And that quitting was actually going to make them feel like they had a heart attack. And just hearing them, and hearing Renee's side and hearing how much they were like in the process of moving. And right before they were about to move, he checked himself in the rehab. It's crazy stuff, crazy stuff. Great stuff though.
Redemption story. Here we go, baby. Back in the saddle. John Moxley's challenging for the AEW World Championship on Sunday against Tanahashi.
And he's been having really the best year of, honestly, I feel like the year he kicked off with, where he was like, nah, I'm back and I'm back in full and I'm just going to start having great fucking matches everywhere I go. Whether you've got me wrestling in GCW, whether you've got me wrestling in AEW, whether you've got me wrestling in Defy, I'm John Moxley. I'm here to show who I am, and I'm going to show it to the world. And, you know, Moxley was one of the first people, one of the loudest people, I won't say the first, but the loudest person to talk about house shows and how much he hated them. I said all that because for Moxley, what he feels is a better substitute for house shows is, and he said this at the time, he was like, just let me go work somewhere else.
Right.
You know, he's like, it's not that I don't want to work those other days, but, you know, I'd rather be working in this country here, or this indie here, or something else. But like, just having me do these matches, it doesn't make any sense to me. And I see you smiling, Reg, because like, that's like to your strongest point. Like Moxley is the fulfillment of everything you were saying.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like it's not that he doesn't want to wrestle 20 times. He just doesn't want to wrestle the same person 20 times for these super low ass stakes. That's pretty much it. He wants to be out there. He wants to be entertaining the crowds, but just give him a different surrounding to do it. Sometimes he wants to be in front of 200 people instead of 2,000. Sometimes he wants to be in front of 10,000 people. Like, he wants to be able to choose how he's doing it. And since he's been doing it, it's been amazing. Like, every time, like I've said before, every time he's in GCW, the energy there is like nothing else. No, there's not a lot of people that carry this energy with them, with their fans, with everything that he does. So this is really amazing to see. I'm excited to see Moxley win the championship again, because like you said, he's been having an incredible run. So I think it's going to be dope.
Yeah. It's going to be an exciting time. I'm excited. I want to see him have a run with the title. And even if it's an interim title, the fact that he's going to be the top guy on the show again, should be fun. It should be fun. Because like, I was thinking about, okay. And yeah, they're saying in the chat, they're talking about John Moxley versus Tony Deppen. Like,
yeah, that match is badass.
He's getting to do the stuff that he wanted to do. He's doing it the way he envisioned it. Jake Salazar said there's been more Rollins versus Cody than there's been WrestleMania.
That's hilarious.
But no, I mean, because like right off the bat, I'm like, okay, you could do a short-term program, Moxley versus Christian Cage.
Yeah.
Why not? Mm-hmm. You could do, there's a lot you could do with Moxley right now.
Yeah.
And then honestly, to me, the big payoff is Moxley versus CM Punk.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I'm in.
There's so much history between that, we know. So yeah.
I'm gonna act like I haven't seen the ratings already. Let's do some ratings reports, shall we? because normally at this point in the show, we air a little bit earlier, the ratings come out during the show. I've already seen them. Everybody's already talked about them. According to Show Buzz Daily, AEW Dynamite did 878,000 viewers, 0.31 rating. That is good enough to be number one on Wednesday night in on cable.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious where it did relative to broadcast TV.
That was number 11.
Number 11 total?
Throughout the whole night. So there was, 10 people above them?
I was
looking at them and it was like the prices. I'm like, people are watching the prices right at 9 p.m. What's going on here? Yep. Why is it doing numbers like this?
Yeah, it basically everything on broadcast beat it, right, as I'm seeing. Except So You Think You Can Dance. Dynamite beat So You Think You Can Dance.
Let's go.
But everything else pretty much beat it. MasterChef, Price is Right, the Stanley Cup, of course.
Yeah. Price is Right at night. They're doing numbers. I thought those people were asleep by that time.
But yeah, number one on cable, though. That's still like they're not having the benefits that Vince is having. I think Tony Khan's going to have himself a couple of affairs because
I know. They went up since the NBA has dropped out. WWE's like, whoop, let's get that. Like,
yeah, no, they got a bump from all that. But also, Riddle versus Roman did really well.
For them. It did phenomenal numbers.
That did like 2.5 million as a match.
And that sounds pretty insane in this day and age, you know?
I mean, I've said time and time again, hey, guys. The idea that wrestling doesn't draw is horseshit. Yeah.
There's not going to be 8 million people like in 98, but they still are drawing. It's just different times.
You know, Vince Russo, his favorite point to make is that the biggest minute-for-minute draw of the Attitude Era was Rock, This Is Your Life. So it wasn't even a wrestling match. People don't like wrestling, blah, blah, blah. Except minute-for-minute, sure. But the biggest drawing segment of the Attitude Era was The Undertaker versus Stone Cold for the WWF Championship in July of 1999. Mm-hmm. And my point there is that it was a match people wanted to see between wrestlers people want to watch.
Yep.
And it drew big.
Yeah.
Same with this past week. Roman Reigns, Riddle. It was a match people wanted to see. There were stakes. It drew big.
Mm-hmm.
On the AEW side, Bryan Danielson versus Hangman Adam Page for an hour drew huge for them.
Yep.
And grew throughout the hour. Kenny versus Bryan Danielson also grew huge for them throughout that half hour. Point being, the idea that wrestling doesn't draw is bullshit.
Yep. Yep.
If you make people, if it's people, if it's wrestlers people want to see, that's it. The key is getting people to want to see them. But once people want to see them, the wrestling itself does draw. Yep. Absolutely does.
And I think at like for WWE, for example, I keep thinking about that point you made about Peacock and how there's so many more viewers on the Peacock compared to what the WWE network is. So a lot of those people are Roman. You guys are telling them Roman's the man. They really believe it. So they're going to tune in to watch them. They're going to tune in to watch you people say they're the best. And always stakes, man. People love stakes. If you're going to put the WWE championship on the line, people are probably going to watch it. If you put a championship on the line on your TV show, people are going to watch it. There's stakes. People love stakes.
Yes. Usually medium. I'm sorry. My kids just bought me a book of dad jokes, and I'm going to be running with those till the end of time.
Oh, that was your Father's Day gift?
Yep.
I love it.
Van Twin Blade says 2D versus Outlaw just announced.
Let's go, baby. Belt Blade for belt. Wow, that's fire. That's going to be a big match. The energy in that building is going to be super.
Now, that said, because I noticed that Kenny in the chat had said, Reg is the best guest that you have on. Will, you should have him on more often. Did you know I do a show with Reg every Saturday?
When does that come on?
Noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. At youtube.com/Fightful. It's called Grap City. Did you know me and Reg even doing a show together led to the launch of Grap City?
We just do it. Yeah, we do. We do it. That's us. Every Saturday you can watch us. I wake up at 9 a.m. and I talk and we do it. We love it. It's great.
It's even better when Phil's here. So catch the three of us.
Not this week.
SP3 is one of my favorites. He was one of my favorite guests I had here on this show. Yeah, SP3 is going to be filling in for me this week.
And that's only because Will's going to be, Will and Phil, Phil already lives in Chicago. They're going to be on location this weekend, Forbidden Door, getting lit. It's going to be fire. I'm so excited for all my friends and everybody that's going to be in attendance. It's going to be, it's at the United Center?
Yep.
United it's going to be, oh my God, the energy is going to be electric.
And I'll also be at Warrior Wrestling this weekend as well. So that's going to be great. And my guest next week here on Day After Dynamite is the one and only Samira. She's always great.
I love when everybody links up.
Right? Yeah. No, and I get to see her at like every event. She's always great.
Yeah.
But we've never done a podcast together, so I'm actually excited for her to get to jump on and do a little bit of Day After Dynamite. She'll be on next Wednesday, and we'll be talking blood and guts. It's actually going to be one of the shortest episodes we've done since it's only going to be that first half and then an hour long blood and guts match. But that's it. That's it for this edition of Day After Dynamite. Thank you for being with us on your Thursday evening. For Righteous Reg, I'm Will Washington. We will see you next time and have a great day. Peace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.